Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. Text 17. Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam Udyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasya Te Yakshano Nitta Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam Udyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasyarte Yakshano Nitta Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Please repeat. Ayu.
Ayu.
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Harati.
Harati.
Decreases.
Decreases.
Vai,
vai,
certainly,
certainly.
Pumsam,
pumsam,
of the people,
of the people.
Udyan,
udyan,
rising,
rising.
Astam,
astam,
setting,
setting.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also.
Yan,
yan,
moving,
moving.
Asau,
asau,
the sun,
the sun.
Tasya,
tasya,
of one who glorifies the Lord,
one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite,
rite,
accept,
accept.
Yat,
yat,
by whom,
by whom.
Kshana,
kshana,
time,
time.
Nita,
nita,
utilized.
Utilized.
Uttama Shloka.
Uttama Shloka.
The all good personality of Godhead.
The all good personality of Godhead.
Vartaya.
Vartaya.
In the topics of.
In the topics of.
Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. Except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting.
Both by rising and by setting.
The sun decreases the duration of life of everyone.
The sun decreases the duration of life of everyone.
Except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. The first sentence of the purport contains volumes of meaning. The human form of life is meant for reviving our lost relationship with God, Krishna. And this fact is true for all people. the Krishna consciousness movement is not a Hindu movement. You don't find the word Hindu anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita or in any of the Vedic scriptures. As Srila Prabhupada used to say, Krishna never says yada yada hi Hindu dharmasya. He says yada yada hi dharmasya. And dharma really means the intrinsic characteristic of the thing. The word dharma comes from the root dr, which means characteristic. So the dharma of a thing is that quality that is intrinsic to the thing. It cannot be separated from it. For example, one could say the dharma of sugar is to be sweet. If some substance is not sweet, we cannot say that it is sugar. Similarly, the dharma of chili is to be hot. If it's not hot, then it is not chili. So what is the dharma of the living entity? What is the characteristic of the living entity that cannot be separated from the living entity? It is service. Every living entity must engage in service by constitution. We may think that we are master, but actually we are servant. There's great competition to capture some political post. But even the person in the highest position is servant of the voters. If he displeases the voters, they'll reject him. Srila Prabhupada said in a household, of course it's not in the culture here, but in India, in a household, the master of the house may have a servant, but he has to treat the servant nicely, otherwise the servant may leave. So he has to, in effect, be the servant of the servant. So every one of us is servant all the time. That is our natural characteristic. So the question is where to render service, or to whom to render service to be happy. And the conclusion is that by rendering service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, one can be happy and satisfied. All other masters are temporary. Someone might serve his country. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, someone may be an Indian nationalist and serve the nation of India, defend India against Pakistan. But in the next life, he might take birth in Pakistan. And then he'll hate India and try to defend Pakistan against India. So all service rendered on the basis of the body bodily designation is temporary and cannot satisfy the self. And bhakti begins when one becomes free from such designations. I'm Indian, I'm Pakistani, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm rich, I'm poor, whatever. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. Sarva upadhi. Upadhi means designations. I'm American, I'm Chinese, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm conservative, I'm liberal. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam, when one is cleansed of those designations, tat paratvena nirmalam, rishikena rishikesha sevanam. And one, rishik means senses, so Rishikesh, one of Krishna's names is Rishikesh, he's the master of the senses, or the proprietor of the senses. So Rishikena, when by the senses one serves the proprietor of the senses, Bhakti Uchite. As long as we have designations, we will serve in the bodily concept of life. But when we're free from such designations, we realize Jive Sarupai Krishna Nitya Das, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Then we serve Krishna. And that is bhakti. Anya vilasita sanyam, without any other desire. Bhakti, pure devotional service, must be executed without any other desire except to please Krishna. So anya vilasita sanyam means without any other desire. Jnana karmadi anavritam, without desires for material gain or impersonal liberation. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anukul means favorable. It should be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. That means we have to know what Krishna wants and offer it to him in the way he wants. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anu again, well, means to follow. Anu also means continuous. And Shilanam means cultivation. It's a continuous cultivation. It's not a part-time job or a recreational activity that one engages in when one has leisure time. But it's our constitutional position. It's our life. In other words, it's our life. So the human form of life is meant for reviving our lost relationship with God. And we should utilize the time we have in this life for that purpose. That is the purport of this verse. That by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. According to our karma, or our destiny, when we take birth, we're allotted a certain number of breaths. Therefore, some yogis can live for hundreds of years. by reducing the number of breaths they take. And we cannot increase our duration of life. And with every rising and setting of the sun, our duration of life decreases. Anish, how old are you today?
20.
Srila Prabhupada has commented, we say, I'm 20 years old. But what we should actually say is, I'm 20 years dead. Say, you're destined to live 50 years or 100 years. So out of the 50 years, 20 years have already died. You have 30 left, or 70, whatever. So every moment is precious. We cannot, Chanakya Pandit says that you cannot buy even one moment for all the gold in the world. When the time of death comes, if you want to extend your life even by one moment, you cannot do so, even if you're willing to spend millions or billions of dollars. Or a moment, say now, it's 20 to 9 on November 3rd, 2008. So we cannot buy this moment back. If we use this time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then that time will bring us closer to eternal life. But if we use the time for something else, I mean, everyone is sitting here, that is very good, but if our minds are somewhere else, we're not really using the time to hear the glories of the Lord. And that moment that was wasted in sense gratification or mental speculation can never be bought back for millions of dollars. Now, it's 8:42, so that 8:40 is gone. You can, no matter how much you're willing to pay to get it back, you can't get it back. It's gone. So we should utilize this precious opportunity. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. In other words, our time is wasted if we don't realize spiritual values. And we can appreciate spiritual values when we realize that we're spirit, that we're not the body, but we're spirit. Unless we realize that we're spirit, there's no question of spiritual life. And realizing that we're spirit means we realize I'm not Hindu, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Gujarati, I'm not Punjabi, I'm not American, I'm not Russian. I'm not any of these things. When we realize that we're spirit, then spiritual life can begin. And the Krishna consciousness movement is spiritual. It's not a religious movement like, you know, Hindu movement or Muslim movement or Christian movement. It's a spiritual movement. It's beyond all designations. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of a fish. If you take a fish out of water, even if you put the fish in a beautiful golden bowl filled with precious jewels and gems, the fish will not be happy because it is a creature of the water. It can be happy only in the water. So as spiritual souls, we are spiritual beings, and we can be happy only in the spiritual world, in the spiritual atmosphere. We cannot be happy in the material atmosphere, no matter how opulent our position is. And this is a known fact. Years ago, I don't know what the statistics are now, but years ago, Sweden had the highest standard of living of any country in the world. It also had the highest rate of suicide. Anyway. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole. And his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. So this is a very important point. Ishopanishad says, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. That the Supreme Lord is perfect and complete. And even though so many entities emanate from him, he still remains the complete whole. Srila Prabhupada remarks that the living entities are complete only in relation to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, they feel incomplete. And because of ignorance of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, they try to compensate for the sense of emptiness or try to achieve the sense of completeness through material means. You know, they think, I'm incomplete, but if I just get a big house, I'll be complete. Or if I just get, you know, the right spouse, I'll be complete. Or whatever. So people are looking for happiness. They feel a sense of emptiness. They feel incomplete. They want to become complete. And they look to complete themselves with material things, which can never really satisfy them. Because they're spiritual, each one of us is spiritual. So those material things don't touch us. We can surround ourselves with them, but they never actually touch us. And so that we never find the happiness that we're looking for. We never find the satisfaction that we seek. So that sense of incompleteness can be overcome when we come in relation, in proper relationship with the Supreme Whole, with Krishna. And then how do we come into relationship with the Supreme Whole? Well, because Krishna is absolute. God is absolute. So he is identical with his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality. So if we come in touch with his name, as we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we come in touch with his name, we come in touch with his form, the deity or picture, come in touch with his qualities. We hear about his qualities in scripture on Saturday on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. Disappearance celebration, we discuss the quality of Krishna's mercy. And his pastimes, we hear about his pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, his entourage, his associates, they're all Krishna. So by hearing about them, by glorifying them, by serving them, we come in touch with Krishna. And if we do it in the proper mood of devotion, anyabhilasita sunyam, not to get any material benefit out of it, spiritual benefit in an impersonal way, then we feel satisfied in our heart. And this vain pursuit, always looking for more and more and more and more, stops. At one time, the richest man in the world was John Paul Getty. And a reporter came to interview him. And he asked him, you're the richest man in the world. You have everything that money can buy. Can you tell us, in one word, what is your philosophy of life? And John Paul Getty replied, yes, I can. More. That was his philosophy of life. More. That means what he had was always insufficient. He was always incomplete. In one sense, we could say he was a beggar. Give me more, give me more, give me more. This poor wasn't satisfied with what he had. The reporter asked him, in a similar way, the richest man in the world, everything of money can buy. What do you think about when you're alone in your free time? What do you think about? And he replied, I think about how to pay the bills. Just like any of us. We're worried how to pay whatever, $1,000 on our mortgage. And he's worried how to pay, $10 million or $1 billion to acquire some company. But he's thinking of how to pay the bills. just like an ordinary person, you know, how to make the payment on the car. So just big animals and little animals. This same chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam explains that people, this verse is about using the time to chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Later in the same chapter, the Bhagavatam says that those who do not chant and hear the glories of the Lord are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. In other words, they're like animals. They are animals. And the little animals eulogize the big animals. But what is the significance of it? Suppose the lion is the king of the jungle. Of course, lions don't really live in the jungle. They live in the savannah. But say the lion is the king of the animals. So all the little animals, the jackals, and all their... Oh, the lion is coming. The lion roars. They all tremble. The lion is coming. The lion is coming. They're all afraid of the lion. They offer respects. They glorify the lion. They sing the praises of the lion. But what is the significance? They're just animals. Animals in the wild. What's the significance of the lion being the king and all the other animals being subservient? There's no significance. So this society of animals, where the small animals eulogize the big animals, it has no significance, no spiritual value. But people are so preoccupied with it. Even we are preoccupied. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and His name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with Him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. So the example of medicine is very appropriate. One can get an injection of some medicine, but once it enters the system, it spreads throughout the body and the whole body is benefited. So in the same way, if the messages of God had entered through the ear, just through that one sense, the whole being of the person will benefit. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadev Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life. Inasmuch as he is constantly busy, in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. A moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Maddhamma gatva purnar janma davidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So, now that he has reached the age of 20, do you know what time of day you came into the world?
4 in the morning.
So you have passed, but in which time zone? You're born here. Okay, so you have passed 20 years and let us say 17 hours. But you have begun to utilize your time in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. And so, if you continue on this path in all seriousness with sincerity, the passing of days will not diminish your duration of life. It won't bring you closer to death, but rather it will bring you closer to eternal life. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Okay. Actually, yes. Take one.
We can understand how is the time passing in this world. Sometimes I try to figure out, and also I try to explain to others, but myself, I don't understand how the time in the spiritual world, how is the time in the spiritual world, how it passes.
Yes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. In other words, there is no time in the spiritual world. There's no material time in the spiritual world. Everything is eternal. Satchidananda. Everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. There is no passing of time.
But there is we see Krishna in different ages, no? Look like there is something there.
Yes. That is true. To reciprocate with his devotees, Krishna appears as a baby, as a child, as a youth. But in the spiritual world, all of those forms are eternal. The spiritual world is not limited. So, if a devotee wants to relish Vatsalya Rasa, The mood of a parent with Krishna, with Krishna as a baby, so they can have Krishna as a baby eternally. And the cowherd boys want to relish tending the calves with Krishna, and as boys. So for them, Krishna can be a boy eternally. And the gopis want to relish Madhurya Ras with Krishna as their boyfriend, as a youth. So for them, Krishna is always a youth. So there's different sections in the spiritual world. And in one section, Krishna is eternally a baby. In another section, he's eternally a child. In another section, he's eternally a youth. But these are sort of inconceivable to us. But that's the fact. If you see on the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, you know the cover of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's more than one Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. He's enjoying different pastimes with different devotees, different places. Yes?
Maharaj, so at the same time, Krishna, the Lord can actually manifest in different forms.
Well, there are different categories of associates of Krishna. So some of them, they're always with Krishna, no matter what his age is. Like Nanda and Yasoda. Yes, that's true. Some of his associates will be with him in different ages. Yes?
Well, you mentioned that the devotional service begins when somebody realizes that he's not his body and the soul. Isn't it the realization comes later on? And you perform devotional service?
Yes. When one understands that he's not the body but the soul, then he can engage in devotional service. And by engaging in devotional service, he'll actually have realization that he's not the body but the soul within the body. Or one could say one has a sense that he's not the body, or a glimpse that he's not the body, but when he becomes purified, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana, then he actually realizes he's not the body, he's the soul, he's eternal servant of Krishna. He has nothing to do with the body. The body is just a machine. All these bodies, just machines, just being dressed, not the real people. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochitina Kamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvati Lavate. Yes.
Hare Krishna to you. You said that bhakti begins when we shed all designations. Of all the designations, I'm most reluctant to shed my designation as a mother. In fact, I view it as Krishna's biggest mercy that he gave me motherhood in my lifetime. So how would you advise me that I should give up my designation as a mother?
What designation do you apply to your offspring?
As a gift of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Gift in my lifetime. Mm-hmm.
Well, that designation can be purified. But ultimately, there's a defect in what you said. And the defect is that your daughter she's not actually your daughter. She's a spirit soul, and she belongs to Krishna. She doesn't belong to you. You can say that it's your duty as her mother to take care of her so that she can revive her eternal relationship with Krishna. That's your main duty as a mother. The other duties, taking care of the physical needs and emotional needs are there. But the real duty is to help this soul revive her eternal relationship with Krishna. And you shouldn't have any sense of false proprietorship. Now, this is my daughter. Because ultimately, that will end in some sort of distress. It's bound to end in some sort of distress. But of course, if she does revive her eternal relationship with Krishna, and of course you must also, it's not going to work unless you do too. But if you do, then your relationship will be very congenial, and it won't be limited by the body. It will continue independent of the body. But if it's based on the body, it'll be finished when the body is finished. And that's going to happen. We try to sort of put it out of our minds that we're going to die. But it is going to happen. And we don't know when. So it's better to be conscious of it. In the beginning of the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says one should always be conscious of death. That will keep us in the right consciousness. Otherwise, think, oh, we're going to live forever. Oh, my daughter, and I love my daughter, and my daughter loves me. But it won't last. That's good. That you're her mother. If you utilize your position as her mother to help her understand her real identity and purpose in life, that's very good.